Hello, I'm Fred Stella, president of the Interfaith Dialogue Association. Welcome to another edition of Common Threads. Last week, we began our conversation with Reverend G. Ludwig on unity, and we will continue that today. Reverend G.'s spiritual journey began early in her life. She received her Master's of Divinity from her country of origin, Transylvania, Romania, in 1994. However, she is Hungarian. She went on to study at Ashland Theological Seminary in Ohio and completed her Master's of Arts in Pastoral Counseling in 1995. She also has a Master's of Divinity from Transylvania. Reverend G. was initially ordained by the United Church of Christ and eventually discovered unity. She currently pastors at the Unity Center for Spiritual Growth in Ada, Michigan. Welcome once again to Common Threads, Reverend G. Hi.
Hi, Fred.
Thanks for coming back. Listen, last week we talked about unity today. Mm-hmm. We also talked about unity's history, which is very important. And we also mentioned that not everybody is aware of the unity movement. And we were talking about your five principles. One of the other, and the reason that I had you last week and this week as well, is because recently I saw you speak at a small gathering, and you were pretty much giving an introduction to unity to people who were not aware of unity. I mean, you were dealing with a blank slate, right? And you did a wonderful job, I think, of communicating those truths of unity. But in your discussion of the church, you also talked about your own personal experience, particularly coming here to the United States and the challenge that you've had. And I just wanted to say that it was remarkable. You had some significant challenges, difficulties, and you, I believe, exemplified so much of what you talk about in unity theory and, well, practice. So, and you also mentioned that you came out of another church, and I mentioned it in the introduction, that the United Church of Christ. So you were originally ordained in UCC.
Actually, that's my second ordination.
Oh!
So, in Europe, in Transylvania, so you mentioned that I am Hungarian. Yes. So in Transylvania, Hungarians, back in the day when it was, I grew up under communism, so I was 20 years old when communism ended. And Hungarians would either be Roman Catholics or they'd be Reformed, which is Calvinist. And it so happened that was my heritage, that I was Reformed. So I was a Calvinist. Now, I wasn't practicing. And eventually I had some kind of experience that I realized that there's something bigger than myself, or that there's more than myself. And I started exploring, and that's what led me down on the path of religion. And then eventually the path of religion led me to the path of spirituality, where I am today. So initially I was ordained in the Reformed Church, which was Calvinist. When I came to the States, I had this ordination from Europe. And there are Hungarian churches in the States which are Reformed, and they are an entity of their own called the Calvin Synod, and they operate within the United Church of Christ.
Really?
Yes. So this is actually very conflicted relationship, because United Church of Christ is quite liberal.
Yes.
And the Calvin Synod is very conservative. So this is not an easy marriage by any.
And are they still married?
Yes.
Fascinating.
Yes. So you see, when I came here, I really was reordained within this Calvinist, the Calvin Synod, but it's a UCC ordination because that is the mother organization.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's complicated. And then I got ordained for the third time in Unity. So I'm so well ordained.
When you were a part of the Reformed movement.
Yes.
What was the official name of the denomination? I mean,
Reformed.
Just Reformed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So was there a legal relationship with either the Christian Reformed Church or the Reformed Church of America.
No.
Just with the United Church of Christ.
Yes.
I see.
Yes. It's a Hungarian thing.
It's a Hungarian thing. Okay. Yeah. Okay. From this point on, whenever I can't explain something to somebody, I will just say,
it's a Hungarian thing. You're welcome, Fred.
Wow. And when you came here, how well did you speak the language?
Well, when I very first came here to do my master's degree, I have never had an English class in my life.
Really?
Yes. So whatever I picked up was from movies with subtitles, American movies with subtitles. So I could understand quite a bit. My passive vocabulary was, you know, all right-ish, not great. My active was very bad, and I couldn't read or write in English. So I started a master's degree, and to read a page took me an hour.
How did you even get in the program? How did you get in the American college program?
I met somebody who hooked me up with this seminary, who had connections here, and who put me in touch with this Ashland Theological Seminary, and they offered me a scholarship, and I came. But my English was poor, very, 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 very poor. So if I were to retake those classes from the first 6 months, oh, I'm sure it would have a whole lot of new information. But I learned fast. I really learned very, very fast. Well, I had to.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
And that you received your Master's of Divinity. No, I'm sorry.
Master's in Counseling.
In Counseling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, I'm sure your counseling in Hungarian was flawless.
Right.
Counseling in English, that's where the work came from, right? Oh, my gosh.
Right, right. Yeah, but those days, yeah, it's a good thing they're over.
And tell us about your journey from the Reformed movement into the Unity movement.
Right. Well, things happened. Things happened. So you need to know that I'm gay.
You are.
I am, definitely. And being in the very fundamentalist Calvinist church, that wasn't really a good thing. I had a one-way ticket to hell, basically. So I wasn't practicing, but I was very conflicted within. And I also believed in this God who was in the heavens. You know, I had that image of God who's in the heavens, who has particular plans for everybody. And I never quite could understand, why would this God allow me to be gay then? Like, why on earth would that bring that, would he, bring it upon me? I didn't understand. And then condemn me for it. So it just didn't make any sense, but that's all I knew. And I decided to move out here. The gay was a problem for me. And then I was ministering a church in Kalamazoo, a little Hungarian church in a small, it doesn't exist anymore today, it closed. And I started my immigration process. And I hired an attorney out of Chicago who didn't send in, whom I paid, and he didn't send in the supporting evidence to the INS. And unbeknownst to me, I became illegal. So I could no longer minister. And that's when I was done with God. I thought, look, first he made me gay. Now he made me illegal. Like, I'm not going to stick around and find out what's next. And I left. And I swore that I will never, ever cross the threshold of another church. Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm done. And then years went by, and I kept hearing about this Unity. And I had a friend who would challenge my belief system. There is that belief system. You understand that what we do when we believe, when we develop a belief system, we think it has to be so, and then we defend it. Look at all the wars. The problem is that there's too many good Muslims and too many good Christians. We don't need more good Muslims and more good Christians. We need good people. Sensible people is what we need. So when you have a belief system, you're going to defend it. And I was very, I didn't like mine, but I wasn't ready to give it up. So this friend kept challenging it and kept talking about unity. And there was a documentary shown that I really wanted to see. And she said, look, a few of us are going to watch this documentary, and would you like to go with us? And I said, sure. And she said, I'll drive you. And she drove me into the parking lot of this church. And I looked at her and I said, Tree, that's her name. Don't you know? You know me. I don't want to walk into another church again. She said, it's okay, it's unity. And so after that, I started exploring unity. And that led me down this new path, which I'm so grateful for.
I can see that. It's interesting. When you were in seminary, for when you were working with the Hungarian Reformed Church, you knew you were gay then, right?
Yes.
So I'm curious, when you took that step to say, I am going to be a minister in this denomination, and I know that this denomination does not accept gay people.
Yes.
How did you resolve that inner conflict?
Well, it's the magical thinking that if I become a minister, surely God will heal me.
I see.
See? It's like I am being such a good servant, and surely God will heal me. I mean, why would God want me to have a straight one-way ticket to hell, you know? But it's nothing but magical thinking. It's just another belief system. And that's all that it is, and it's painful.
Do you, I realize that this is a former life. I mean, we're almost talking about reincarnation here. You today and you back in those days, do you keep abreast of the relationship between the Reformed movement, and here I'm talking about the greater Reform movement, not a particular denomination, but Calvinism in general, and it is not monolithic, we know this, many, many different movements within Calvinism. But do you pay attention to what's going on between the Reformed tradition and gay rights these days?
No, not at all. It's a good question, and it just never occurred to me to look into it. So no, not at all.
Okay. Well, I will tell you that in certain corners you might be impressed. In other corners you wouldn't be.
Yeah.
But in some corners you would.
Look, I know that we're all going in the same direction at a different speed. So, yes, I expect improvement, and I expect some to stay behind, and they'll catch up too. It's really just a matter of time. I am absolutely convinced of that.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Common Threads here on WGVU-FM. I'm Fred Stella, and my guest today is Reverend G. Ludwig. She is from the Unity Center for Spiritual Growth in Ada, Michigan. And we're talking about, well, quite frankly, all sorts of things. So let's get back to something that we started to talk about last week, and it was really the idea that was put in my head to have you actually come in today and last week as well. And that is unity's growth out of Christianity and into a more expansive spirituality.
Yes.
So let's start with this. From the very beginnings of unity, which we talked about last week, we won't have to go into that again, but in the middle of the 19th century, when the founding couple, the Fillmores, created this movement, would you say from back then it was understood that Jesus is different in degree but not kind?
Correct.
Explain that a little bit.
Okay. So they understood Jesus as a way shower, as a wise, you know, brother who walked before us, and he espoused this Christ essence to a degree that perhaps others around him hadn't. And nonetheless, they believed that Christ essence is present in every single one of us. So we're all capable of that. And in fact, Jesus himself is believed to be, it's quoted, believed to be said that you see these miracles and you shall do greater miracles than me. How can you possibly outdo God if you are not? So it's that Christ essence is within every single one of us. And the more you tap into it, the more you manifest. And the Fillmores did not believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and Unity does not believe that. So that being the ultimate criteria for Christianity in the eyes of the fundamental Christian movement, it would be that very Christian movement who would say that we are not Christians.
So if you were to speak to somebody, let's say they're exploring different possibilities for their spiritual life.
Yeah.
Right. But they grew up understanding the Bible to be the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you're having a discussion with them. If they believe that every single sentence in there is the inspired Word of God, mm-hmm. can you have a discussion with them, or do you have to say, no, we don't believe this particular part. When St. Paul says this about Jesus or about God, we don't believe that. By this I mean, are you selective in which parts of Scripture you acknowledge to have veracity and meaning in your life?
So could I have a discussion with that person? The discussion I would have is that I don't believe that the Bible is the very Word of God.
There you go. Yes, you would start with that.
Yes.
So it unlike a lot of times when two people have a spiritual discussion, religious discussion, they both accept the Bible, but they have different understandings of it.
Yes.
And you would say, well, I can't have that kind of discussion because my understanding of the Bible is different from people who
so
are
if it is the if it is either the Word of God or the inspired Word of God, then my first disagreement comes from the five books of Moses. This is the beginning, the Old Testament. It's called the Book of Moses. That would mean that Moses actually wrote those books. He did not. These books were written about 600 years after the death of Moses. Now, if we go over, so to me, that's already. How can that be the Word of God when it wasn't written by Moses? Then we come over to the New Testament and you have the very first gospel. This is the Gospel of Mark. And this is written about 50 years after the death of Jesus. So Mark speaks Greek. Jesus spoke Aramaic. A couple of generations have passed since Jesus died. Now Mark is writing this gospel, so everything is word of mouth. I dare you to quote me 2 weeks from now and say exactly what I have said. So what I jokingly say, the things that I can with great confidence quote from Jesus are A, the, and end. The rest are questionable. Because how can you possibly quote when he spoke Aramaic. Now we're talking Greek. So there's been a crossover in generations and in culture and in language and in understanding. So it is not the inspired Word of God.
But yet, don't you use the Bible from time... I really don't know how often, but from time to time, do you not use the Bible as a book of instruction in your services, in your counseling, or whatever?
So that's just it. I think it's a wise book. I think it has a lot of wisdom. I think it has a lot of value that can add to our experience today, as much as the Bhagavad Gita, as much as the Tao. I love the Tao. As much as Buddhism. I personally do not see a difference in hierarchy. It's a wisdom material, a wisdom, the world of wisdom, and I'm willing to go to the world of wisdom wherever it comes from. I'm willing to accept love from wherever it comes from. I don't discriminate like that.
In your church, excuse me, your spiritual center.
Thank you, sir.
In Ada, would you say most of the people who attend there come from a tradition outside of Unity? They were born as a Lutheran or a Catholic or a Baptist?
Yes, probably 95% at the very least. Yes.
And do you have some people who come from nothing? You know, grew up in a very secular home?
Yes. Well, that would be my partner, Patty.
Okay.
She comes from nothing. She was quite unchurched before she exposed herself to Unity. So, yeah. Sure. Yeah. All. We have all of it. All walks of faith and all walks of no faith. find a home in Unity, yeah.
How is it for Patty being the minister's wife? I've heard from other people that can be very challenging.
Well, Fred, let me ask you this. How many little girls grow up thinking, I know what I want to be. I want to be the minister's wife. And this is how I'm going to do it. It's like, that's not a job description. So we don't grow up wanting to be that. And yet the congregation has a very strong expectation of how the minister's wife should be.
Yes, that's what I've heard.
Yes.
It can be very stressful.
So
it's like being first lady.
Yes. So Patty is her own person. And she is not your traditional minister's wife by any stretch of the imagination.
But you make it work.
We make it work just fine. Yes, this is wonderful.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. Very quickly, too, because we're coming down to the wire once again. You were just at a yoga event. Mm-hmm. Where was that?
In Atlanta, Georgia.
That's right, Atlanta. And how was it?
It was out of this world. So the person that I went to see is Sadhguru Jaggi Vasudev. He comes from India. He's the founder of Isha, so Isha Foundation, which is obviously known worldwide. I only learned about it a few months ago. And the program that I attended was a Shambhavi Kriya, and it was amazing. There were probably 600-800 people there. And I have to tell you, like, Google this guy. If you who are listening, do yourself a favor. He has a lot of material on YouTube. Sadhguru Jaggi Vasudev. I have never met anybody.
If you Google inner engineering,
yeah, that's another good way. Yeah. Isha Foundation, inner engineering, or just Sadhguru. I have never met anybody so far in my life who makes as much sense as he does. Wow, just blown away.
Wonderful. It was just a weekend, huh?
Yeah, 2 days. Very intense. Very, very intense. And him being from India has you sit on a mat on a floor, no backing for your back. And
no cushion?
No. Well, there is a cushion only, but there's no back support whatsoever. And let me tell you, I am not used. I don't have that kind of core body strength.
Sure.
So in that sense, it was a painful experience. But there were a lot of people from India, and they seemed to be just so comfortable. Sitting like that.
Well, you grow up that way. It's great.
It's like this. If your bladder is very full.
Yes.
And that's all you can think of. And I come to you and I say, so do you want God or do you want a toilet? You know, do you want inspiration or do you want to? You say, take your God, please, let me go to the toilet.
Yes.
I was like that. After a while, I was ready. Do you want more inspiration or you want a backing for your chair? It's like, back support, please.
It's so interesting. We have our high ideals and yet the body can just pull us back down so easily.
Yes.
Gee, it's been wonderful having you here with us today and last week as well. Very quickly, if people are interested in learning more about Unity, give us your website locally.
www.unitycsg.org. We are located in Ada on Ada Drive, and we meet Sunday at 10 a.m. you are all welcomed.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Our guest today has been Reverend G. Ludwig, and you're listening to Common Threads here on WGVU. Please join us again next week for more of the same.